Lamentations 3:22 and 23. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. Every morning that breaks, there are mercies anew. Every breath that I take is God's faithfulness proved. And at the end of each day, when my labors are through, I will sing of your mercies anew. And your mercies, they will never end. For 10,000 years they'll remain. And when this world's beauty has passed away, your mercies will be unchanged. When I've fallen and strayed, there were mercies anew. Yet you sought me in love, and my heart you pursued. And at the end of my day, when your throne fills my view, I will sing of your mercies anew. And your mercies, they will never end. For 10,000 years they'll remain. And when this world's beauty has passed away, your mercies will be unchanged. When the storm swirls and rage, there are mercies anew. In affliction and pain, Lord, you carry me through. And at the end of my days, when your throne fills my view, I will sing of your mercies anew. So I will sing of your mercies anew.
Thank you very much, Nikki. Let's turn in our Bibles again to Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6 this morning, and we're continuing on here in Romans. And we are looking at the last half of Romans chapter 6 this morning. These verses are about our freedom as a Christian. As Americans, we all like freedom, don't we? We're free. That's how this country came into existence. We wanted to be free from England, from tyranny. And we got that freedom. And, I remember as a young boy, talking with my friends out on the playground, and he'd say, "Hey, it's a free country, right? I can do that. It's a free country. We can do what we want, right?" And so we're all taught that this is a free country, and I hope it stays that way. But the Bible tells us that Christians are free. We have freedom. Jesus taught about that. Romans chapter 8, verse 32, he said, "Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." There's no freedom outside of the truth. Our freedom is only in Christ. If we're not in Christ, we don't have freedom. But the Bible tells us that if we know Christ, we have freedom. And this is another passage that teaches us that. And I wonder how many Christians really feel like they have freedom. How many Christians actually feel like they have freedom? How many Christians actually feel like they're in bondage? There's probably a lot of those too. But the truth of the matter is that we have freedom. And the question here in this chapter that comes up is a result of what we've learned about the gospel, and that it is a gospel of grace, And that grace is abounding. It abounds all our sins. Where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. And the question that comes up is there in verse 1 of chapter 6, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? If that's how grace works, then maybe we should continue to sin some more. Grace abounds it, so why not sin more? And the Bible tells us the answer to that question is no. That's not the right way to think. Paul says, God forbid. And he tells us that the long answer is, you need to know who you really are. And who are you really? You are united with Christ. You are crucified with Christ. You are buried with Christ. You are resurrected with Christ. You are hidden with Christ, the Bible says. And that should affect the way that we live. And we come down here to verse 15. Really, it's kind of the same question that comes up again in verse 15. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? Paul has just given us some responsibilities in light of who we are. We need to reckon who we are, to consider it to be true. We need to resist the reign of sin, verse 12. We need to yield ourselves to God or present ourselves to God. And we can do that not because of law, but because of grace. And so this question comes up again. If we're not under law and under grace, should we just continue to sin? And what's the answer there in verse 15? God forbid. Paul says, in case we have any question about that, No, we should not sin because we're not under the law but under grace. That's not the right conclusion. And then he goes on here in these verses to tell us about our freedom. And what he wants us to see, what God wants us to see here, is that we need to live in light of our freedom, live because of our freedom. And that is the idea of how we behave, how we conduct ourselves, how we live. We need to do that because of who we are, Paul's told us, who we are in Christ. That's not a matter of, you know, who I can make myself to be. No, if I'm a Christian, if you're a Christian, this is who you are. And same is true here with freedom. If you're a Christian, you have freedom. That's just a reality. And so we need to live in light of that freedom. It should affect our lifestyle, our sanctification. That's the subject here in this passage. So live because of your freedom. And specifically here, we see that we need to live because of the knowledge of your freedom. Look at verse 16. Says, know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. So we need to live because of the knowledge of your freedom. Paul says, know ye not. Know ye not. Don't you know that? It's always interesting to find out new things that you have, but you didn't know you have. I have a neighbor in my neighborhood that was working on my van, and every time I go talk to him, he tells me something else about my van I didn't know. The other day he told me you can actually, my van is an automatic transmission, but he told me you can actually, there's a setting there, you can shift through the gears manually on it. I didn't know that. And here I was driving all around town, and I could have been shifting the gears manually. I didn't know. And Paul tells us that, listen, you need to live because of your freedom, and specifically because of the knowledge of your freedom. Did you know you're free as a Christian? You are. Know it. Know ye not? You are freedom. You have freedom. You are free. And so many Christians live like they don't know anything about freedom from sin. You know, Paul tells us here that we need to know that we have a choice of freedom here. Verse 16, know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. Now, this is talking about Christians here, but Christians, Bible says that we have a choice. Know that you have a choice. You know, you can choose who you're going to serve, what you're going to serve. You can be a servant of sin, as a Christian even. Or you can be a servant of righteousness, and you're actually free to make that choice. Know ye not. Don't you know you have that? Don't you know you have that freedom, that opportunity to yield yourself or present your bodies to God? Verse 13 reminds us of that. We looked at that last time. But knowledge of the choice of freedom. We have a choice about which master we will obey as a Christian. Verse 17 tells us about the knowledge of the source of freedom. Look at verse 17. But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Here's the source of freedom. Know the source. God has set us free. And how has He done that? Here, verse 17 tells us about how He's done that. That form of doctrine which was delivered you. Through doctrine. You say, Pastor Howard, you're getting a little deep for us here. It's doctrine. That sounds a little scary. I'm not sure. Maybe I ought to go to sleep right now and not listen to that. But no, doctrine, what's that? Well, it's teaching. It's just teaching. And the Bible's full of teaching, isn't it? And there's one teaching that sets us free. And what is that? Well, it's the gospel. That form of doctrine which was delivered you. Paul is delivering that in this book of Romans. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation. It is through that we have freedom. And notice the response here is given. He talks about, God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine. You know, God sets us free. God gives us freedom when we respond to the message of the gospel, the teaching of the gospel. And that response is not really an option. You know, God doesn't give us this teaching of the gospel that Jesus Christ died for our sins. He was buried, He rose again. All of that was for us. If we put our faith in Him, we'll be saved. You know, God doesn't say, hey, here, would you consider that? Here's another choice for you, and maybe you'd like to consider this. No, that's not the way the gospel is presented in the Bible. You know, it's presented as, this is what you must do. You must believe, or you'll go to hell. That's your option. And when we put our faith in Christ, really what we are doing is obeying the gospel. We are obeying that form of doctrine, that teaching that was delivered us. And that's the source of our freedom. You know, it's not that somebody comes along and they have a nice little lesson, nice teaching that they've come up with, and that's just somehow going to help you and help me. No, this is a message from God. And Paul comes along and he's trying to explain the source here of people's freedom. And he doesn't say, hey, good job, Romans. You figured it out. What does he say? He says, God be thanked. God be thanked. Our freedom ultimately comes from God. God be thanked. Do you know that? You need to live because of the knowledge of your freedom. If you're a Christian, I trust that most of you are here this morning, but if you're a Christian, know that you have freedom. You have a choice about presenting yourself to sin or to righteousness, and all of that comes down to God saved you through the message of the gospel, and you responded to that from the heart. Trust in your heart, and you have freedom because of that. Some of you have probably heard of Booker T. Washington. He was a former slave. Okay, Andrew's heard of him. And he wrote a book, and it's called Up From Slavery. And he wrote about some of his experiences there. And he lived through the time of the Emancipation Proclamation when all the slaves were freed in our country. Abraham Lincoln proclaimed that that would be true. And Booker T. Washington writes about a slave that he came into contact with that had an agreement with his slave master about how he would be able to secure his freedom. And he set up a plan where this particular slave would be able to pay off his master and pay for his freedom. And he heard about the slave, had gone up to Ohio, and found a job, and was actually, even after the Emancipation Proclamation, this particular slave was sending money to his master to pay for his freedom. After he had already been proclaimed free by Abraham Lincoln, he's sending money to his master. And finally, he made the trip down south, wherever he was from, and paid the last dollar to his master for this agreement for his freedom. And yet he was already free. You know, as Christians, the Bible tells us that when we put our faith in Jesus Christ, we have freedom. And we are not under the obligation anymore of the slave master of sin. We don't owe him anything. We have no obligation to him anymore. God has given us freedom. We have it. And the Bible wants us to see here that we need to know it. Do you know that you're free? That you are delivered from the slave master of sin? God has done that for you. Live because of the knowledge of your freedom. And then secondly here, we see that we need to live because of the purpose of your freedom. Live because of the purpose of your freedom. Need to know it, but you also need to see that it has a purpose. Notice verse 19. I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity unto iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness. For when ye were the servants of sin, ye were free from righteousness. So we have freedom in Christ, and does that mean we can do whatever we want? Well, Paul tells us there is a purpose for this freedom. There's a goal. We are to serve a new master. We have changed masters here. And Paul is using an illustration. I think that's why he says, verse 19, I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. He's using an illustration here of slavery. And if you were living in Rome at this particular time in the first century, guess what? There were slaves all over the place. And the historians tell us huge amount of the population in the Roman world was slaves. There were slaves everywhere. And certainly along with that, there was probably the buying and the selling of slaves and the changing of slaves and the exchanging of them. And so Paul is using that illustration from their world and teaching a spiritual principle about that. You know, God has given us this freedom, and what are we to do with that? What would that slave do if he were given that freedom? What should we do? Well, what's the purpose of it here? We see the purpose, Paul explains at the end of verse 19, is holiness. Even so now, yield your members, servants to righteousness, unto holiness. That's the purpose of our freedom. Purpose of our freedom is holiness. Holiness is what we are as a Christian. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 2, he's writing to the Corinthians, and he says this, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus. That word sanctified is the same word or related word to the word holiness here. And it's true that as a Christian, before God, we have holiness. And Paul is even writing to the Corinthians. They were involved in all kinds of trouble, their church and sin. But yet he calls them those that are sanctified. And so there's a sense in which we have holiness, but the Bible also tells us that there's another sense in which we need to pursue holiness. We need to live holy lives. That involves choices being made on our part. And that is, I think, what is referred to here in this passage. We need to make the choice for a holy lifestyle. There's a process of development in holiness and sanctification. But that's ultimately the purpose. That's why we have the freedom that Christ has given us. We have that in order to pursue holiness. And we're able to in that because of that freedom. Read about a man who visited the country of Peru back in 1980. And at that time, there were significant changes going on in Peru and politically, a lot of different levels of poverty and riches and everything. And a consultant went and studied two communities that were there in Peru, and they were on opposite sides of a river. And the one community was really poor, and the other community was doing quite well. They had nice buildings. They they were taking care of things. The other community was just, huts and not very well taken care of. And this particular consultant was trying to figure out what's the difference between these two people. They're really the same people. They started off from the same area and everything, and they moved into this area, and they're totally different. Why? And he found out, talking to some people that observed these neighborhoods, that these people had moved into this land, and the one group on the other side of the river that was doing quite well, they had been able to secure the titles for their land. And the changes were going on in the government and everything. They were able to actually get the ownership of their land. And the other group on the other side of the river never did that. They just lived there. They knew it was somebody else's land. They knew they could be kicked off any time. And they did nothing really to develop their property in their area. And the difference, the consultant found out, was simply owning the ground under your feet. He said, a dwelling had to belong to you in order for you to work at improving it. True freedom is yoked to responsibility. That's oftentimes the case. When we own something, when we have something, we're going to take care of it. We're going to do something to improve it. And the same is true in our spiritual lives as well. God has given us ownership of something, freedom. And why has God given that to us? Just to go and do whatever we want? No, God has given that to us for a purpose of pursuing holiness, of making choices that are right before the Lord. We see that holiness should be a wholehearted process. Verse 19 compares it to the previous way of living. Notice what it says, for as ye have yielded your members, servants to uncleanness, and to iniquity unto iniquity, Even so now yield your members, servants, to righteousness unto holiness. You know, there's a way of living that the unsaved world lives like, and Paul's referring that to that here. You know, it's not just sort of a partial devotion to sin. It's just complete living for sin, iniquity unto iniquity. And the Bible says that we're to live in that way, that same wholehearted way, but use it for holiness. Live wholeheartedly for holiness. And that involves your members. Again, we saw this back in verse 13, but your members, what's that mean? Is that talking about church members? Well, sure, they should too. You know, but what are members? Members are body parts. And, you know, Paul could have, or the King James translators could have translated it, for as ye have yielded your body parts, servants to uncleanness, and to iniquity unto iniquity, even so now yield your body parts, servants to righteousness and to holiness. You know, we are supposed to be thinking about the different parts of our body. And all of them can be presented to sin or to God. You know, and you can think of all the ways that our body parts can be used for sinful purposes. They can be presented to sin. But they should be presented instead to God, to righteousness, unto holiness, wholeheartedly. And that's possible here, verse 20. It says, for when you were the servants of sin, you were free from righteousness. Here again, we see our freedom. And before salvation, guess what? Somebody is in bondage. They're free in another sense, free from righteousness. They can't present themselves completely and wholeheartedly to righteousness and holiness. No, they're in bondage. But Paul says here, guess what? Now it's possible for you to make this choice. You're free. Before, you were not free. You're in bondage. But now you are free. You're free to live for the purpose of freedom, holiness. That involves the choices that you make, even with your body. One of the hymns that we sing is by Francis Ridley Havergal. And we're going to sing it at the end of this message here. But take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to Thee. And I like how Francis Ridley Havergal goes through different parts of the body in that hymn. And she says, take my hands and let them move at the impulse of Thy love. Take my feet and let them be swift and beautiful for Thee. Take my voice and let me sing always only for my King. Take my lips and let them be filled with messages from Thee. You know, that's one part of our bodies that's oftentimes hard to control, isn't it? Our lips and our tongue. But that's a body part. And that body part also needs to be presented to the Lord and not used for sin. And Frances Ridley Havergal had quite a struggle with her lips and her tongue, if you've ever heard her story. But she said before the Lord, take my voice, take my lips, and let them be filled with messages for Thee. That's presenting your members unto righteousness and holiness. Take my silver and my gold. That's not a body part, but we use our body parts and handle our silver and our gold. Not a mite would I withhold. Take my intellect and use every power as Thou shalt choose. Presenting your body parts to the Lord. That's the purpose of your freedom. You're free to do that. You have the freedom to pursue that purpose. We need to live because of the knowledge of your freedom. We need to live because of the purpose of your freedom. And then we see in verses 21 to 23, we need to live because of the fruit of your freedom. Live because of the fruit of your freedom. Look at verse 21. What fruit had ye then in those things whereof ye are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now, being made free from sin and become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness, and the end, everlasting life. Do you like fruit? I like fruit. Apples and oranges, bananas, pomegranates, a lot of fruit. I know summertime's coming up here, and some fruit that we can get. You know, do you ever get the peaches? Get a big old box of peaches, right? And go through that and freeze it, put it in pies, everything. And that's really, really yummy. But fruit is a product of something. It's a result of a tree or a plant. And that tree produces fruit. That's why we call it produce. And the Bible tells us that our lives produce fruit. We are giving off fruit, not peaches and pomegranates, of course, but we are producing fruit, love, joy, peace, the fruit of the Spirit, and more fruit than that. And the Bible says here that there's fruit because of our freedom. What fruit had ye then in those things whereof ye are now ashamed? The end of those things is death. But now you have your fruit unto holiness. The fruit of freedom is holiness. Before that freedom, we produced fruit and it was shameful. Verse 21 says, what fruit had ye then in those things whereof ye now are now ashamed? The end of those things is death. You know, if we present our bodies for sin, what does that say about what kind of person we are? Well, it says that we're the kind of person that is producing things, shameful things. And, we look at some of those things and we think, wow, is that really a good fruit? No, that's a bad fruit. I'm ashamed of that. Does that make me feel good after I've done that sin, presented my body for that? No, it makes me feel ashamed. It's like Adam and Eve in the garden. They thought it would be a good idea to sin. And what happened? They were ashamed. And ultimately, what was the fruit of that? It was death, as the Bible says here. The end of those things is death. That's what the fruit of sin is. It's death. But the fruit of freedom is holiness. And the Bible says here that we have that. Verse 22, it says, ye have your fruit unto holiness, and the end, everlasting life. You know, if you're a Christian, if you're a true born-again Christian, you have fruit. You have it. There will be fruit. And, of course, there can be more fruit. There can be much fruit. Jesus taught about that, John 15. But the Bible says here that if you are a true Christian, you have it. It may not be a very big fruit, may just be a little bit, you know, but you have it. And there will be more of it. And we need to make choices towards that. Live in light of that fruit that we have. If you have fruit, it's a reminder of something. And that is, verse 22, everlasting life. You have your fruit unto holiness, and the end, everlasting life. We can have assurance of what we are as a Christian, the fruit of our lives, the good works even that we do. They don't play a part in our salvation, but they're fruit. And it's an assurance of whether or not we're saved, if you see that fruit there. So the fruit of freedom is holiness. And the fruit of freedom is eternal life. We see that in verse 23, very familiar verse there, wonderful verse. For the wages of sin is death. The wages of sin is death. The fruit of sin is death. The wages of sin. That word for wages is a word that means military pay. And in Luke chapter 3 and 1 Corinthians 9, you see it being used in that context of a general paying his soldiers military rations. And here's the picture that God is giving to us here, that sin is a general. It's a military general, and sin pays the soldiers, sin pays you your wages, but what is the wage? It's death. Your pay for serving sin, that's what you get. You get death. The wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The fruit of freedom is eternal life. And that fruit, the Bible says here, is a gift. It's a gift from God. God gives you eternal life through Jesus Christ. Not through working very hard for eternal life. Not through trying to be as good as you possibly can. But it's a gift from Jesus Christ. A gift from God through Jesus Christ our Lord. The fruit of freedom is eternal life. Have you received that gift of eternal life? It is a gift that you must receive. And all of us need to come face to face with God and make sure that we don't say, no thank you, God, I don't want eternal life. I know it's a gift, but I'm going to find some other way. No, that's not the way to get eternal life. There's only one way, and it's through accepting God's gift, accepting Jesus Christ by putting your faith in Him, your trust in Him, because you need Him. You can't get to heaven without Him. And so you need to accept that gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ. You will not have freedom until you do that. Nobody will have freedom until you accept Jesus Christ. But when you do, you have it. So you need to know you have it. Live in light of the knowledge of freedom. We're not in bondage anymore. We actually do have a choice. And so choose the purpose of freedom. Choose holiness. We're able to do that. And live because of that fruit that God is producing in your life. And that is holiness and eternal life. And so we need to accept that freedom and choose that way of holiness because of what God has given to us. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank You for freedom in Christ. We recognize once again that we don't have freedom apart from Christ. And we thank You, we praise You this morning that You remind us about this, how much we need to know that we are free to choose holiness. So we pray You'd help us to live in light of that freedom. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.